Every believer has a voice, and it's the voice of victory.
My God has made a way for me.
Praise the name of the Lord. This is the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Father, thank you. Oh, my, we have been made kings and priests unto our Lord so that we can bless the covenant blessing, the blessing that began in the garden and has flowed like a river all the way through both covenants. And we thank you for it. Oh, and now we are the blessed ones. And we thank you in Jesus' name. You know, Greg.
Glory to God.
I remember there in the book of Luke. Be fruitful and multiply.
Yes.
As he began to ascend, he blessed them.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
It was the power of the blessing of the Lord. It was the blessing that taught Joseph. It was the blessing that trained the men of Abram and defeated the most powerful armies of the world.
Yes, sir.
Because they learned how to fight at night.
Yes, sir.
And it was the blessing of the Lord that raised Jesus from the dead. That's where the power is in that blessing. And he was blessing, and that blessing was lifting him up. And as he was being lifted up, he blessed them. And we're blessed. My God, man.
He was acting as our high priest.
Yes, sir.
Right then, right
and
there.
And we've been made kings and priests under our God.
Yes, sir.
If he remembered our sins, he couldn't bless us.
That's right.
He said, I am he who blotteth out your transgression for my sake.
My sake.
For his sake.
That's right.
I couldn't get that. He said, I'll remember your sins no more.
Yes, sir.
I couldn't get that.
Hallelujah.
I said, you meant for my sake. He said, no, if I remember your sins, I can't bless you. Now, I forgot them, you forget them.
Praise God.
Glory.
That's good advice.
Man.
Hey, it's been a great program. I mean, that's enough right there. All right, we're talking about this blessing, and I started this. Let me just tell you where it is. I didn't tell you. Numbers chapter 6, verse 23 says this, "Speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, on the wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them." This was God's idea. Here's what you're going to say. "The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And thou shalt put my name upon the children of Israel." There's the name change.
Oh, glory to God. There it is.
And I will bless them. So now he's given righteous men the responsibility to bless. Now it's not just God blessing. So when Brother Copeland, you stand under the anointing, you bless somebody, it's as if Jesus himself just did it because he just gave power to men for
that's
the first time
right.
to do it.
Yes, he did.
And so that's why it's important. So when you start to see this, the Lord keep you. God is securing the blessing in my life. He will not allow it to sour. He will not allow it to fade away. He'll add no sorrow to it. It's as if
the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich.
Rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. So the word face is plural there in the verb. It comes from the word light, which goes right back to the garden, light be.
Oh, man.
So in other words, the Father, as you're looking in his face, as he's looking at you, will enlighten you. I just don't understand the Bible. You spend time with him, you start confessing the blessing, he'll enlighten your spirit. So that you'll see and know, the spirit of seeing and knowing. So with wisdom, the divine light preceded creation, and now it's recreating me. And then it says this, be gracious to you. This is undeserved gift of his love. You can find this referenced in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 18. The face is an indicator of the attitude of the heart. You ever say, I know what you're saying, but your face says something else. Your face is an indicator. God is not turning His face from you. My God. He did that with Jesus.
Yes, He did.
On the cross. But He's not turning His face in anger from you. He's lifting you up in His arms. And the final blessing is shalom, nothing missing.
Nothing broken.
And nothing broken. No, with inner peace, you have balanced. You're in harmony. There's no strife in your life. Without shalom, the rest of it is useless. So this is the priestly blessing from the Prince of Peace. Now, what will happen is they'll take their tallit and they'll put it on and they'll cover their head. It's not just draped around your shoulders, but literally covering your head. And what happens is to this day, the Orthodox will do this. When you're receiving the blessing, you do your hands like this and your face is down. You do not look at the priest. And the priest doesn't look. He does his hands like this and pronounces this blessing, usually sings it over you with his head down, which makes sense when Jesus was ascending that he would have been looking down on them, right?
Yes, yes.
You men of Israel, why do you stand here looking up into the... Remember this?
Yes.
So they're looking up into him. He's looking down onto them. But the rabbis teach that it gives this picture. This Bible will become a little child. You've done this, Brother Copeland, with your children,
yes,
your grandchildren. How can I see his face? Why would the Lord lift up his face if he's above me? Because what he does is he lifts you up and looks in your face like a little toddler. That's
We've been raised
Father.
Up to
see. There it is.
When he said that to me, it just, well, it literally changed my whole consciousness. That here am I, my Jesus, as a born-again child of God, just as a new creature, just a baby Christian, he just lifted me up like this. Smiled and looked at me.
That's what it means when he lifted up his countenance, his face, because he's lifted me up to a place. I'm seated with him above all right now. I did this all the time. You know, living in California, we'd take what do you want to do? Like Disneyland. And then we always want to go to Disneyland. And at some point during that trip, those little legs would get tired. They didn't want to stop. They want to keep seeing stuff and riding things, but their little legs would get tired. What would I do every time? I'd pick them up, put them on my shoulders. And I'll never forget Matthew saying, Daddy, I can see so much better up here. But that's the way we are. When we get up, when he lifts us up into that position, we can see things so much better. And I referenced Ephesians 3, verse 18.
Oh, yes.
In touching this, look at this. Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 18. Well, let's look at verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and that you be rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, and the depth, and the height. I can comprehend, I can see it, because he's lifted me out of this situation I was in, Brother Copeland, with the blessing because of my covenant. I've been washed in the blood. The blessing has literally lifted me out of all the trials and tribulation, stress, strife, all of it. When I walk in the revelation of that blessing, walked into the fact that my loving Father has lifted me up and blessed me.
And I spent all of my Christian life looking up to Him. And then I realized that He's in me. And I know He hears me because I'm so aware that He's in me. Become God inside-minded over the years where we're just together. We're just all the time together. And day and night, I mean, that's when, like, in the night, I heard, we need to get back to the blessing and show these things. I just jump up and run in my closet or where I keep a little pad and write it down and go on back to sleep. Mm-hmm. And then when I wake up the next morning, it just that today's all of this week's broadcast just unfolded in front of me. But Craig, it never was a revelation to me until you showed me this, and this is the reason I said to him, we have to go through the covenant blessing and come to that point where I could look down on the happy face of my father.
Not turning his face from you. There's no sour look on him whatsoever.
And he's got a big, just like my kids.
He gave himself to get you.
Yeah.
Isn't that beautiful? Now, it ties very closely to the prayer Jesus taught him to pray, our Father. Lest you realize that he's your father. Now, you may have had a horrible relationship or may not even have known your father, but you have a father.
Yes, you do.
You have a heavenly father. Unless you realize that relationship, your faith's going to suffer. That's what I found. I knew one thing about my dad. My dad loved me. That was unconditional. Oh, I knew my dad, he would move heaven and earth to get something from me. You will not recognize the timing of the blessing if you don't recognize the timing and the love of your father for you. The example, I'll show it to you in the life of Jesus, Lazarus. When Lazarus was raised from the dead, let me show you this. Lazarus' name means my God will help in Hebrew. That's his name, my God will help. He lives in a town called Bethany, which means house of poverty. All right, so the house of poverty has a guy named my God will help in it. Jesus hears about his sickness and he remains for 2 days. And he said to the guys, don't fear, fear not. In ancient times, the Jewish different religions, I'm going to call them denominations, Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, scribes. The Pharisees believed in a resurrection, all right? The Sadducees did not believe in a resurrection after death. That's why they were sad.
Yeah, so Sadducees.
but they believed that the common belief of that day and what we would refer to now as mystic Judaism was that after death, the spirit of a person remained and hovered over the earth around their body or somewhere for 3 days. So they believed that for 3 days after, this is why they said, we got to block that tomb for 3 days. Because they believed that something could happen for 3 days. But after 3 days, it can't. Well, they get that from Jonah. There's
sure.
3 days.
3 days in the belly of the
Listen,
whale.
Listen, Jonah died.
Yeah, he did.
You're not going to survive in the belly of the great fish with all the acids and everything, unless it's a miracle. But I believe he died.
Well,
he was,
no, well,
was resurrected, born again.
You have to read it carefully. And he said he did.
Yeah, right. So this three-day resurrection thing that Jesus is talking about is very familiar to them. Because they believed that for 3 days, a spirit could come back into a body and be made whole. So Jesus, what happens? He waits 2 days and then shows up on the fourth day. And they say to him, you're too late. If you'd have been here, why did they say you're too late? If you'd have been here within the first 3 days, he could come back. But he can't now because it's the fourth day. Because that's their belief. Jesus, the blessing, arrives on the fourth day, proving his power is not limited to 3 days. That all power is given unto me. That he's more powerful. This is why it was such a big stir. If he'd raised him from the dead on the first day or the second day, they would have said, well, that's could have been done because it's within 3 days. But when he waited for 4 days, he made a statement. And that's what the blessing did to Lazarus. The blessing did that. My God will help, and he did. And at that moment, the Gentiles were ready to believe on him, and that's the thing that pushed the priest over the edge. Okay, we got to kill him. We got to take this guy out because he's got the power to raise people on the fourth day, past 3 days. And the Sadducees, who didn't even believe in a resurrection, there's a resurrection standing at the temple with him. Because I guarantee you, he went back to the temple, presented himself, cleansed himself, and that's why there was such a stir about that, because Jesus was consistent. He told people to do the exact same thing.
And something that 99% of people don't know. Just a little research and you can figure it out. They learned in Egypt to mummify.
Yes, sir.
And the last thing that was covered was the face. Mm-hmm. It's like our tradition of seeing someone in the coffin and then close it. The last chance you get to see your loved one, and then the face is covered. So when John and Peter came into that tomb, mm-hmm. that wasn't the grave clothes were not, it was the face napkin was folded. Mm-hmm. There was a cocoon there, the very shape of Jesus with nothing in it.
Mm-hmm. It says the napkin.
Yeah, the napkin was folded by the side. Lazarus, he was 4 days. The face piece was already
completely
there.
Down.
He was already mummified.
Yes, sir.
And when he said, Lazarus, come forth, that thing stood in the front of that tomb, standing there like this. Don't you know that was the shock of the ages? There that thing stood. That's the reason he said, loose him and let him go. You're going to have to cut him out of that cocoon.
That's right. So let's connect the dots. The girls probably went on the third day, his sisters, probably went on the third day and did that. This is why the women arrived with Jesus on the third day, and he was already gone. But they probably went on the third day. Jesus arrives on the fourth day, and they're like, it's too late. We've already done this other. You're too late. He stinks by now. We've already been in there. How would they know he stinks? Because they were in there yesterday when he arrived on the fourth day.
That's right.
That's exactly right. And he showed absolute, all of these little strings.
Yes.
Attached together. Now, one beautiful thing that happens in one of the accounts of Jesus in the tomb is the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant had a seraphim on one side and one on the other side facing each other.
The Ark of the Covenant has.
Has. Well, yes, sir. Well, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Has one on either end. And then this is the mercy seat. That's right here. Inside of that, there's the manna, the bread of life.
How large?
About 4 feet, maybe like this table here across. And there's one on either end. Read the account where they looked in there. And they saw an angel, one at the foot and one at the head of where he had lain. Yeah. What they did is they got there right after the two angels came together. Now, the Bible says that when two of us gather together face to face in his name, there is he in the
middle
of us.
That's right.
That way I'm not controlling the spirit and you're not controlling the spirit. He's in the middle of us.
We are in agreement.
In the heavenly throne room, they're circling the throne crying, holy, holy, holy. I guarantee you, here's what happened. An angel stood at the foot, an angel stood at the head, and they reached their arms out like this and cried, holy, 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 and the power of God went into that body. And he came up out of it. They made an Ark of the Covenant with him on it, on the mercy seat. They literally, think about that. I've been there. That slab, his body was there. Two angels got here and here. They did what they do in the throne room, and the power of God came in that body. He came up out of there. He folded the napkin up and left. But they made an Ark of the Covenant. So, Brother Copeland, when you and I, or when you and someone with you get together in agreement in his name, you're making an Ark of the Covenant.
Yes, glory to God.
Recreating what's in the throne
then
room.
Then there's most, how much time ago, Tim? Most significant, just most significant. He first said, don't touch me.
Don't touch me.
I have not yet, I'm going to just paraphrase.
Ascended.
I haven't gone up yet to my Father and your Father, my God and your God.
Yes.
He had to go cleanse, according to the book of Hebrews.
Yes.
He had to cleanse the heavenly utensils of worship.
That's
because
correct.
Adam's sin had gone all the way into heaven, right up to, but not including the throne of God.
Well, Lucifer was, that's where iniquity happened first, was in heaven. He said, I will ascend my throne. That's where it happened. So he went and cleansed that first.
Yes, had to.
and then here.
Now, that's the reason why heaven, God had to create a virtual paradise in the upper region of hell. It was called paradise.
That's correct.
The pit was down below it, and when Abraham talked to the rich man, he was speaking through, we'll call it a portal. As far as everyone else knew, they were in heaven.
That's right.
They didn't know there was anything else.
That's correct.
But heaven was not fit for a person yet. Only two had gone up there, and they had not died.
That's right.
And when Jesus said, no man hath gone into heaven, he wasn't talking about them. He was talking about no man has died and gone to
That's
heaven.
That's correct.
Because it was unfit.
That's correct. And this is why he will make a statement, I go to prepare a place for you.
There it is.
There it is. There and that's is what right he's been
there.
Doing.
There it is. I was struggling with that. And the Lord said, Kenneth, will you get out of the natural?
Yes.
He said, you think about it. You could step into your closet and just suddenly, I could put the whole state of Texas in your closet. You could see the whole state from a spiritual point. And he said, you walk out and you're just in your closet. And he said, I put heaven, a virtual heaven called paradise, in that upper region. They did not know they were not in heaven.
That's correct. That's correct. So let me just...
Then he led captivity captive.
Captive. So let me go back to this prayer. Lord, bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee, be gracious to thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give you peace. When he lifted you up, this is how the whole state of Texas can be in your closet.
Yes.
He lifts you up out of the natural, Brother Copeland.
Oh, Lord God.
Into his realm.
Yes.
And you can see it the way he sees it. And that's the blessing.
It's the spiritual climbing of Mount Nebo.
That's it. Yes.
And up there, you can see it. I heard the Lord say it. He said, climb Mount Nebo like Moses. And you see things that others don't see. Mm-hmm. You hear things others don't hear. Mm-hmm. And you know things others don't
That's
know.
Correct. That's exactly what John did in the book of Revelation. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day.
Yes.
And suddenly he heard a voice behind him. He turned to see, and he was somewhere else.
Yes.
And that's being lifted up. And what did he say to him? Come up.
Come up here.
He said that to Brother Hagin.
Yes, he did.
Come up here. And that's what he's saying to all of us. Come up here. Get up here. And there's coming a day when the trumpet will sound. He will literally have us come up there.
Yes, yes.
But
yes.
We've already been done that. So you're operating in the blessing right now, not in the curse.
Oh,
because
Lord
in the blessing, he has a million ways to get the blessing to you.
Yes, yes, yes. Do you remember my thing I got for 30 seconds here? The Lord said, I have a million ways to make you a billionaire.
Yes.
You can't think of three.
That's it.
I couldn't. Well, they could give it to me. I don't, and we're out of time.
We're out of time.
Glory to God. Amen. Come on, Jeremy, help us here, boy. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you, Papa. Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming up higher in our understanding of our covenant of blessing with God. And these 2 weeks with Brother Copeland and Professor Greg Stephens have shown us the power of the blessing to connect, to protect, to create, to overcome, to bless, and to lift us up. And we are no longer strangers to our covenants of promise. Jesus gave himself for us so we could live blessed.
Glory to God. That's where the glory is going to fall next year. It's in the local churches that are preaching and teaching and healing and going strong with the word of faith and glorifying God. Hallelujah.
Set your faith for victory in 2021 with a powerful word from Kenneth Copeland. Watch live or join us in person here on the property of Eagle Mountain International Church. Children's and youth services will be in full swing. It all starts at 8 p.m., 7 p.m. Central, New Year's Eve.
Today is offering day on the Believer's Voice of Victory, and I want to read to you again today from the book of Galatians chapter 6. Verse 6 says, "Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap." He said, don't be deceived. You and I might say it this way, don't kid yourself. Quit kidding yourself, thinking that you can sow one thing and reap something else. Quit kidding yourself, thinking that you can not sow at all and reap something good. That's not how it works. Don't be deceived. Quit kidding yourself. And listen, God's not mocked. And there are people that hear this message of sowing and reaping, and they scoff and they mock and they roll their eyes. But listen, they're not mocking you. They're not mocking me. They're mocking God. Don't be caught mocking God. This is His message. This is His word. And when you sow to the Spirit, you reap from the Spirit. And you reap from the Spirit everlasting life. If you've heard some word this week on this broadcast that's ministered to you, that's turned a light on for you, brought revelation or answers into your life, then what do? You go before the Lord and you say, how do I respond to this? How do I obey your word and share in all good things with the one who's taught me the word? And that is when the Lord can lead you into partnership. Partnership is you standing alongside Kenneth and Gloria Copeland in this ministry and sending this word, this message, this uncompromised word of faith all over the world. That's the power of partnership. Partnership says, it's not stopping with me. I'm going to get it into somebody else's life. And listen, partners, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland love you. They appreciate what you're doing alongside them in this ministry. And because of your prayer, because of your faith, because you've sown, generations of families have heard the life-changing word of God since they began in 1967. If you're not yet a partner with this ministry, go before the Lord. Find out if He's got an assignment with you in this ministry. And if He does, then join us. Join us in faith and sow in love and watch as your giving opens up a door for God to go to work in your life like never before. Father, we thank You for the giving of the people today. We receive it and we ask You to see it, Heavenly Father. We ask You to receive it from their heart of faith, from their heart of love, and use their offering as an open door of access to go to work in their families, their finances, and everything that they set their hand to do in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, next week, we invite you to join us right back here on the broadcast. Join my grandparents, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, for their Christmas week special. See the Christmas story through the eyes of faith and the many miracles that occurred to carry out God's supernatural plan for Jesus' birth. Thanks so much for watching today, everybody. We'll see you again next time. Until then, remember, God loves you and we love you, and Jesus is Lord.
Kenneth Copeland Ministries has an exciting way for you to give and become a part of what God is doing. Text the letters KCM and the amount you'd like to give to 36609. If you prefer, you can also go to kcm.org/giveonline or call 877-615-4267. Believe God to bring new visions, His manifested power, and great change in your life. Text to Give is available in the U.S. only.